This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Go back to that, and we can also talk about where the Giants stand in the National League and in the National League West, and what's realistic expectations for this Giants team ahead of opening day today in Cincinnati, Giants and Reds. But right now, we're honored because Dave Dravecki joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Giants great Dave Dravecki on with us here on the Morning Roast. It's Mark Randy and Joe Shasky. Dave, appreciate the time. Happy opening day. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
God, how are you doing today?
Yeah, doing really good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course. I know we want to promote your event coming up next month, the Second Opinions 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, a morning with Dave Dravecki on April 11th. We'll tell everyone all the details about that and ask you to share with the audience what that event means to you. But first of all, opening day, you've been through a lot of them in your major league career. What is it like to be a part of an opening day and the pomp and circumstance of a day like today?
Oh, it's awesome. It really is, guys. You know, as a kid from Youngstown, Ohio, just getting to the big leagues was amazing, and people often ask, well, what was your favorite ballpark? And I would say, every one of them. And then, you know, you take it another level and you go to being given the ball on opening day. And I'll never forget 1988 when Roger Craig, after spring training, came up to me and said, hey, you're our opening day pitcher. And it was Chavez Ravine, Dave Dravecki versus Fernando Valenzuela. Wow. And so, I mean, when I think about opening day, it is such a special day because it begins the journey that we look forward to every spring with the opportunity to actually get into the postseason at the end of the year. And so it's a really special time because it starts on this journey that we embark on to try and play as well as we can to get to the prize at the end of the road.
You know, Dave, I think I speak for a lot of people my age. I grew up right near Candlestick. And those late 80s Giants teams forged my love of baseball. And the trade with you, Craig Lefferts, and Kevin Mitchell. Mitch was my guy. I loved Mitch. And all my other buddies, oh, Will Clark. Like, you guys really took the hearts of Giants fans at that time. Obviously, the Niners have always been big, but that late 80s run that you guys went on, and you were such a big part of it, and so important. Like, do you guys still feel the love? I mean, I know you do for a lot of reasons on and off the field, but do you still feel the love from those late 80s, like the connection to guys in their 40s and 50s to those teams? Because, God, I just... If I bring up Robbie Thompson, Matt Williams coming up and down and you and like, no, like, honestly, it means something. You know, it really does to guys my age. Do you still feel that love from Giants fans?
Oh, you better believe it. As a matter of fact, you know, the Giants, this organization is near and dear to our hearts because I'm an ambassador for the Giants. And about 15 years ago, they brought me on as one of their ambassadors, and they have several guys that connect with the fan base. And one of the most beautiful things about the San Francisco Giants is that they really understand the significance of their history as it relates to the present that then impacts the future. And that is all as a result of alumni connecting with generational fans. And so, you know, we've lost those original guys in the context of the ambassador, the Willie Mayses and the McCubbies and the Cepedas, but it's moving to the next generation. And you know, my dad was that fan of Willie Mays that he introduced me to that club. And then, you know, I'm introducing my son, and now my grandson is involved. So yes, we as players love the connection at what we're in our 50s and 60s with the fans that went through that with us. That means so much to us as alumni. And the older you get, the more you realize the significance of it. Because, you know, for so many, they're just forgotten. Mm. But as a Giant, you're never forgotten.
No.
Mm. And that's because the fan base and how they look at this wonderful thing called the San Francisco Giants.
Dave, you're getting me emotional here because, like, I'm taking my son next week. You know, he's a year and a half or so old, and I lost my dad this year. My dad used to take me to games at Candlestick. I told you, we lived right down the way, and we would sit out in the family pavilion, you know, for a dollar, and we'd play catch, yeah. And there'd be nobody in the stands, literally nobody in the stands, and we'd be booing the hell out of Tommy Lasorda coming out of that crummy bullpen out of the side, and I think that's the part about opening day is, like, I think of the familial ties and everything, but where I'm going at this is, as an ambassador of the Giants, do you just marvel at the stadium that they've built? Because coming from Candlestick and how dusty and crusty and old and windy and crappy that it was, to see, like, it is a gem. It looks like it's been there 150 years, yet it still feels brand new. I marvel at it every time I see it. I pinch myself, and I'm bringing my kid there next week, and it's just, there's something about opening day and the ritual of going through it, and I appreciate you bringing up your father when you brought that up.
Yeah, you know, I've recently lost my dad, and so when I think about being raised as a young boy and my dad being actively involved in my love of baseball, and I think about Oracle Park, and I think about coming from Youngstown, Ohio, where we didn't play on the best of fields, and I think about being a big leaguer and playing on all those amazing ballparks, to think that now there's a place like Oracle Park, which is, you know, I mean, it's the most beautiful park in all of Major League Baseball. And when you go to the games and you sit, it's intimate and it feels you're connected. Fans, I mean, now as when I go as a fan and I watch the games, it's amazing how connected you feel to your team just because of that ballpark and the way it's been constructed. Everything feels so intimate. It feels like a family. And so it's been such a wonderful thing to be able to experience post-career. But I have to be honest. Okay, guys, my favorite ballpark was Candlestick.
Hmm. Why?
And here's why. Okay, I was a sinker ball pitcher. Roger Craig made sure the grass was thick in the infield. And so, you know, I'm throwing pitches that guys are hitting into the ground, and it's slowing the ball down through the infield. so that it's a much easier play for the guys that were playing in the infield. And so I loved pitching there. I loved the elements of San Francisco. The colder it was, the better it was for me to pitch, because when I played for the Padres, Tony Gwynn, when we would go into Candlestick, he always said, "This is the worst place to hit." And I thought to myself, if I ever become a Giant, I'm going to use that psychological edge, knowing how much guys, if Tony hated it, everybody else was going to hate it.
That is
and
great.
So I loved pitching in Candlestick.
That's amazing. Dave Dravecki with us here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Dave, I'm curious, you were teammates with a lot of great Giants in your tenure in San Francisco. Will Clark, Robbie Thomson, Kevin Mitchell, to name a few. Who's your favorite teammate while you were a Giant?
Atlee Hammaker, hands down. He's still, to this day, my best friend in baseball. But here's the thing that has been really cool, being out of the game. And, you know, as a player, pitchers hung with pitchers. I mean, you guys get that.
Yeah.
You know, the regulars hung with each other. You know, and so there were these little cliques, and it was just guys just, you know, you don't hang with everybody, so you find your guys, and those are the guys you hang with during the course of a season. But when you retire, it's really interesting what happens, because I stay connected with Atlee, but I stay more connected with Will Clark, Robbie Thomson, Kevin Mitchell, all those guys, than I do with some of the other pitchers, Brett Butler. And it's been amazing how those relationships have developed post-career. Mm. And it's been wonderful, to be honest with you. Absolutely wonderful, because I didn't hang out with Robbie Thomson and Bob Melvin and Matt Williams and Will Clark and all those guys. I didn't hang out with those guys. I was hanging out with Scotty Gereltz. I was hanging out with Atlee Hammaker. And so now postseason, just because of the dynamics of our lives and getting older, having kids, going through struggles, these guys become really good friends. And that's what's been really cool as a Giant, is the connection with those teammates. And so I just feel so grateful, you know, being a part of this organization. You know, they've invited me into this family, and it's been away from home. It's my family. And I absolutely love those guys. I love the staff, the people that are working in the organization. There's so many of them that I get to relate to and build relationship with, you know, and just grateful that Larry Bear has allowed for me to be a part of this incredible family, along with Mario Alioto when he was there. So it's been really cool. And Jason Pearl, all those guys in the front office, and then, you know, on the field, those guys too as well. Been wonderful.
All-time legend Dave Dravecki. I mean, Giants fans are out here just like they're glued to their radios and their YouTubes and everything, watching and listening to you right now, just going on. You brought up Bob Melvin. I mean, believe me, I want to get into Atlee Hammaker and how unfortunately the Freddie Lynn home run just hangs over his head, and he was so much better than that, and no one gives him love. I love Atlee Hammaker. Bob Melvin, take me back to the first day you met him, because he's the manager right now of the Giants. And, you know, I love hearing these old school stories. So take me back to the beginning of when you met him. Where were you? What'd you think of him? And how has he changed since, now that he's obviously 40 years later?
Well, you know, when I came over, that's when I met Bob in the trade. And I don't know specifically how that all happened, to be honest with you. But I do know that I loved him behind the dish. You know, when you get a catcher that so quickly discovers who you are and then works with you, and there's a rhythm that you develop really quick, it makes pitching very easy. At least it did for me. Now, it didn't mean the results would be good, but when you've got somebody who's on the same page with you, that's a significant thing. And Bob Melvin, it's indicative of why Bob is the manager today and has been such a successful manager in the game of baseball. And so, you know, those experiences with him were absolutely incredible. And the thing I love about Bob, which is what I think is indicative of the Giants' way, is that Bob this spring has invited many, many of the alumni back in uniform to help these young men understand what it means to be a Giant. And Bob gets it. And obviously, with Buster at the helm as the president of baseball ops and wanting to bring those guys back to reconnect like his experience was when he would be in the clubhouse and Willie Mays was there, or a McCovey would come in, or a Cepeda, or a Gaylord Perry. He wants that to be a big part of who we are as a family. And that history means something to him. And he wants to see the influence of that connect with these younger players so they don't forget that it's not about the name on the back of their uniform that's significant. It's the name on the front of the uniform, Giants, that is significant for them. But when they learn the value of being able to play together as a team wearing that uniform with the name on the front, all of a sudden good things start happening to the name on the back. And that's the beauty of the Giants way that I think Buster wants to permeate throughout the organization into the minor leagues. And Bo Mel is at the helm at the big league level doing that by bringing guys in and connecting them. Bo Mel gets all over me when I come into San Francisco and spend time with the fans if I don't step into a locker room to say hello.
I love that.
That's amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. And fans love hearing that. And I think you were touching on something good there at the end that I wanted to follow up on. Obviously, the Giants fans love those good feelings and love seeing you involved and seeing Will Clark involved and Matt Williams, of course, and Bob Melvin and all these legendary Giants that are still involved in the organization. And it makes everyone feel good. And that Giants vibe feels like it's coming back. But you were talking about it a little bit. How can something like that help this team that's trying to make a name for itself and so many young players that are trying to break through for the first time? How can that environment make life easier for that group and for this team in general?
Well, I think it's indicative of what happens to a team when you have chemistry. And so what they're trying to create is an understanding that we're in this together. And so you may be young and you may have veterans, but at the end of the day, you have to come together. And I think that is at the center of understanding where the success is going to come from. It's not necessarily looking at the end of the road to a World Series. It's about the process in getting there. And the only way that you can get there is if you learn to love one another on that team because you have a common goal in mind. And that's to pick each other up during the course of any game throughout the season. And Kruko and Kipe speak to this a lot to us as fans. It's understanding that how many times have you heard Kruko say, next man up, keep the line moving, you know, put the ball in play, just keep the line moving. Well, that's what these young kids need to understand, and they get that when all of a sudden the alumni are connecting and the veteran players that are in that locker room are speaking into this. I mean, how amazing is it that you got Willy Adames? First of all, the dude's always smiling. I want that guy on my team. I mean, he's a Pablo Sandoval. Happy. Love the game. Enjoy the game. That's why we play the game. It's for love of the game. And at the end of the day, you got a Justin Verlander. How much wealth of wisdom and knowledge does he have as a pitcher that he can pour into these young kids that have such great arms? And the thing that I love about what is happening is that they're now trying to get these starters to go longer in games, which thrills me to no end, is to finally get some length out of our starters and get guys to go in the sixth and seventh inning. And when you got Logan Webb and Verlander and Robbie Ray going out there, what do you think that's going to do to those young kids when those guys are going 7 and 8 innings or 6 and 7 innings, and those kids are out there and they're going, man, I want to follow suit. So that's the beauty of the dynamic of what's happening with this organization. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but I would not count them out in getting a postseason slot.
Wow. Wow. I love that. You know, Dave, I want to speak on behalf of, I'm in my 40s, you know, and I remember your playing career quite fondly and your comeback and everything that went into that and what happened to you. and losing your arm, and just you've been an inspiration for a lot of people. And every time that you're out there at Oracle Park and you go out in front of the fans, you always get a standing ovation. But I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that your story and the way that you've conducted yourself over the last 30 years, inspirational doesn't even begin to describe it. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the Giants fans. You've been a great Giant on and off the field, and you embody everything that's good, not only in the sport of baseball, but in this world. And I just appreciate you, man. And I just want you to know that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That means an awful lot. You've touched my heart with those words. So thank you for that encouragement. It means an awful lot to me. And you know, it's because this organization and the fans of San Francisco mean a lot to Jan and I. And when we were going through the hardest of times, you all reached out with your love and your prayers and your support. And that was a big part of us getting through the very difficult season in our life where we battled cancer and lost a career and ultimately an arm. And so there's a fond love that Dave and Jan Dravecki have for the people of San Francisco and the Bay Area.
We love you back.
Yeah, it goes both ways, and you're still inspiring to this day. You've got the Second Opinions 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, A Morning with Dave Dravecki, coming up Friday, April 11th, 8 to 10:30 in the morning at the Jewish Community Center here in San Francisco. The Second Opinion is a nonprofit that has been providing free, comprehensive second opinions to cancer patients since 1969. And this breakfast benefit, again, Friday, April 11th, beginning at 8 in the morning at the Jewish Community Center here in SF. That helps raise critical funds to provide this service on an awesome thing that you guys are doing. Just talk to us a little bit about this event, what it means, and how it's helping the community.
Yeah, I think this is a significant event, and here's why. Because a second opinion for me literally made the difference in the journey that I was on battling cancer. And I'm not saying that the people who were handling me as the primary when I went to get that second and medical opinion did anything wrong, but it was through that second medical opinion I learned something new about my situation that led me to make a decision that would ultimately help me to get through this. And I'm so grateful for the encouragement to get that second medical opinion, because it's always important when you're battling with something physical and you're trying to make a decision on what's best moving forward to make sure that you get more than one opinion. And most doctors out there are very supportive of that because it helps them as well as the patient to understand that we're on the same page. And so that second opinion is critical. And the work of this organization has been significant since 1969. And so it's so important for people to understand the value of the second opinion. And this is what they offer. This is what the beauty of what that day will be about, is understanding the gift that they offer to patients who need to understand whether or not they're in the right place and to get the right care. And so that second opinion helps them to formulate a wise decision in relationship to their health. And so it's a privilege and an honor for me to be able to come there and speak to the issue through my own personal experience, but encourage people to support the wonderful work of this organization called Second Opinion.
That's amazing, Dave. Inspiring story. You're still inspiring to this day, and we appreciate you taking out some time on opening day. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. You got it. Please come out, man. Look forward to seeing you at Second Opinion. I'll be signing autographs, too.
Let's get one.
Awesome.
Let's go. Dave Dravecki, all-time Amazing. Giant legend.
Amazing. I'll read off a little more information about this event. It's the Second Opinion's 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, A Morning with Dave Dravecki, Friday, April 11th, 8 to 10:30 in the morning at the Jewish Community Center here in San Francisco. The Second Opinion is a nonprofit that has been providing free, comprehensive second opinions to cancer patients since 1969. And the breakfast benefit itself is the big fundraiser that makes this nonprofit possible. And as you heard Dave Dravecki say, every attendee will receive a Dave Dravecki baseball card, and Dave will be on hand to sign it. To purchase tickets, go to thesecondopinion.org, or you can call 415-775-9956. 415-775-9956 or online at thesecondopinion.org.